Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. We're going to continue today this Advent theme, anticipating the return of the Lord and taking in some of the amazing realities of what's being communicated to us, shocking terms of the Lord himself as he prepared the apostles for both what he was about to endure, speaking to them quite often in those last days before he went to Calvary, about his own death, about what was going to happen to them, about betrayal, about denial, of even knowing him, the fact that the apostles will scatter. And it's very dramatic language, and it's intense. And it wasn't something, we look back on it now 2,000 years ago, so yeah, the apostles were kind of taking it in, and yeah, they were accepting it, but it was shockingly different than what they thought was actually going to happen with the Lord. In fact, at this point, it probably wasn't even fully computing to them. Clearly, they didn't all see it and didn't all understand it. And his words were very troubling. But he also talked about the coming destruction that eventually ended up happening of the temple in Jerusalem, which was like a complete shock. The temple was the center of the universe. It was the center of the Jewish world in particular, and the holy place. And how could God's temple be destroyed? And the very dramatic terms that we talked about from Matthew 24 and a little bit from Matthew 25, and Luke has his words, Mark, others, the apostles, the gospels touch on it. But the words of Jesus are so troubling and shocking to hear. And those words refer not only to the destruction of the temple, but many scholars believe, and the catechism touches on this as well, that it's also anticipating the great trial that's going to come before the final coming of our Lord. And it's in this season of Advent where we reflect on the comings of Jesus and what they mean, and how to live in between the first and second coming of the Lord is a wonderful way to go through Advent, to prepare ourselves to kind of lay hold again of the big biblical vision and to internalize more deeply the eternal perspective, that posture of being alert, to being awake, to grasping the spiritual battle that we're in and not letting things trouble us. Because as Jesus described in such graphic terms what was going to happen and how devastating the time was going to be, at the same time, he said, don't be troubled. It was a command, actually, as we talked about yesterday on John chapter 14. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Now, the troubled heart is a seedbed, as a friend of mine describes it, a seedbed of confusion and anxiety and a potential for lots of deception, lots of confusion, and to making the wrong kinds of decisions. As a disciple, we know, and this is what the Lord keeps underlining, we know we're going to live to one degree or another in times of temptation or tribulation or trial or difficulty. And what the Lord promises to the apostles is that if they believe in God, that is, they exercise faith and radical trust in his word, believe in God, he said, believe also in me. And remember this, I'm going to leave you, but where I'm going is I'm going home to the Father. And there's a big house full of mansions. There's mansions in heaven. I'm going to prepare a place for you, basically, he's saying. He wants us to trust that he has everything under control. And we're on a pathway. We're on a journey. And there's a destiny to our journey. And the destiny doesn't end in this world. This world is a passageway to our ultimate destiny. And that ultimate destiny is to be with the Lord and in the place he's preparing for us. And he said, I will never leave you. I'm going to give you my spirit. And my spirit's going to lead you to all truth. It's going to help you. And don't worry. I will never forsake you. I will never abandon you. I'll give you the words to speak. I will help you. I'll be with you always. And then I'm going to come and get you. And I'm going to bring you home. So Jesus said, focus on these things. Think about them. And your hearts won't be troubled. But the apostles, of course, had to learn the hard way, in a certain way, they, like all of us, to trust the Lord and to come to terms with what that actually means, to live with faith, hope, and love, the centering reality of our lives, our minds, our hearts, are fixed on these things, and they shape the way we look at reality and how we walk out our faith on a daily basis. They're extremely powerful, and it's real. And the apostles came to really walk in it in the power of the Holy Spirit, most of them becoming martyrs and dying for the faith. But they experienced exactly what Jesus said would happen. And they found the faith, the hope, they found the calm and the lack of trouble in their heart, and they were able to have a peaceful heart. Jesus said, "My peace I leave with you, my peace I give you." Right now, friends, if you're living with a troubled heart, if you're confused and afraid, and be careful, angry, you see deception all over the place, and it's scaring you, and you might be drawn into some of it, Jesus' words are meant for you, to give you the power and the capacity to live with genuine peace and calm in the midst of the storms that are around you and around us. I want to go back to the catechism to start with today before I jump back into John's gospel. Paragraph 679. You know, Christ is the Lord of eternal life. Full right to pass judgment, a definitive judgment on the works and the hearts of men belongs to him as the Redeemer of the world. Jesus is the final judge of the living and the dead. Jesus is the faithful witness. He told us he was going to come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. And we confess it every Sunday when we recite the creed together. We know this is something and that we're meant to, whenever, whatever time in history it is, Christians are called to live with the disposition of anticipation of the return of the Lord, to be living in a way that we're ready for the return of the Lord. Here's part of the climate, Jesus said, we will experience before his return. Paragraph 677, the church will enter the glory of the kingdom only through a final Passover, when she will follow her Lord in his death and resurrection. The kingdom will be fulfilled then, not by a historic triumph of the church through a progressive ascendancy, but only by God's victory over the final unleashing of evil, which will cause his bride to come down from heaven. That's the saints in heaven, friends. It says, God's triumph over the revolt of evil will take the form of the last judgment after the final cosmic upheaval of this passing world. So we're living in a passing world that's still in conflict with the Lord. It's going to lead to a kind of climax and a final battle where the devil's the unleashing, the catechism says, of a final unleashing of evil that's going to take place on the earth. And the victory for those who are living in the Lord will come not from the church becoming more progressive and ascending on its own resources. When the Lord returns, it's not going to be a church that has kind of rebuilt the whole world and created heaven on earth so Jesus can come and be in heaven. Heaven's going to come with the Lord. Because the church, the world is going to be in the midst of great conflict, and the catechism is clear. God's triumph over the revolt of evil will take the form of the last judgment after the final cosmic upheaval of this passing world. So the apostles were hearing all this from the Lord, essentially. His dying, what was about to happen at Calvary, the destruction of the temple, which shakes and obliterates the whole Jewish understanding of reality and cosmos, and then the final return of the Lord and the great battle that's going to happen and the final victory that Jesus will win. We're living between these times, friends. This is what Advent reminds us. And so you think about what was at the heart of what troubled the apostles. First of all, first trouble is just thinking of the death of Jesus. Jesus talked a lot in that Last Supper about the fact that he was going to die and he was going to suffer. And a messianic king who was going to die and suffer was not something they could compute. But even more deeply, think about how troubling that is. The one they loved, their beloved leader and friend, he's saying, I'm going to die real soon. And I'm going to die a very, very difficult death. I'm going to be despised and rejected. Imagine how troubling and confusing and traumatic that would be. I mean, 18 times Jesus talks about this, his death, in those passages. So just think about the human dynamics that are present. Jesus saying to Peter, where I'm going, you can't follow me now, but you shall follow me afterward. Will you, Peter, lay down your life for my sake? Most assuredly, you know, Peter's like, yes, I will, Lord, I will. So that's number one. That's a troubling reality. Number two, the trouble in Peter's heart about Jesus prophesying his denial of the Lord, his personal failure. Jesus said in Matthew 26, they went out to the Mount of Olives, and Jesus said to them, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. Before the rooster crows, Peter, you will deny me three times. So there they are in that moment, very troubled hearts. Peter says, no, this can't be. I will not do this, Lord. I am your most loyal friend. And we won't do that. We're with you. We won't stumble tonight, Lord. We're going to stand with you. The third troubling reality, the bitterness of betrayal. Their close-knit group of brothers are going to see one of their own number sell Jesus for 30 coins. Their brotherhood is going to be broken. And Jesus is prophesying it. He's telling it's going to happen. It says, he was troubled in spirit, and he testified and said, one of you will betray me. And then in Matthew's gospel, Luke's gospel, talks about what it's going to be like at the time of the destruction of the temple, at the time of the Lord's return. You'll be betrayed even by parents and brothers, relatives and friends. So that's very troubling. The fourth trouble, the crisis in the culture, the pressures that were disrupting the whole social order that was present, and their whole lives were about to be turned upside down. Again, Matthew 24, Jesus warned about what will happen at the time of the destruction of the temple. And like he says, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars, and for nation will rise against nation. There will be famines and pestilence and earthquakes, and many false prophets will come and will deceive many. Those are dramatic images that Jesus is communicating about a reality that's actually going to unfold. Trouble number five, the persecution. Jesus made it clear, you will be killed, you'll be beaten, you'll be imprisoned. Matthew 24:9, then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you for my name's sake. They will lay their hands on you, delivering you up to prisons. Trouble number six, the national destruction. Again, the destruction of the Jerusalem temple. It's just completely unthinkable. But Jesus said, not one stone shall be left upon another. He said, when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, for there will be great distress upon this people, they will fall by the sword and be led away captive into all nations. Wow. There's a lot for the apostles based on who they knew was a truth teller, the Lord, what he was saying and what he was describing to them. And so what was Jesus's command to them to help them? He loved them. He was preparing them. He prepared by telling them the truth. He didn't hide the difficult truth from them. He told them, this is what they will pass through. And this is what the church passes through in history, friends. And before the Lord returns, it's going to be intense like this. We're going through the emerging of a time, something like that. This could be the end times. Who knows? I don't know. But it could happen. The bottom line is, though, what did Jesus say to the apostles to help them pass through this time? What were the promises that he gave? What were the commands that he gave? And that's what I want to look at more closely tomorrow, dial into it so that we can hear the words of Jesus and apply those words to our own lives. So friends, I hope you can join me and have some friends join as well. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.